Welcome back to Ask Me Another, NPR and WNYC's Hour of Trivia, Puzzles, and Word Games. I'm Ophira Eisenberg, and our VIP, you know him from the Comedy Central roasts. He's the voice of the parrot Iago in Aladdin. He's appeared on dozens of reality competitions and, of course, is known for a famous telling of the Aristocrats. Please welcome comedian Gilbert Gottfried. Welcome to Ask Me Another. Your first stand-up act was when you were 15 years old. At what club?
I was at the Bitter End.
Oh, yeah. And was it a comedy night?
It was called Hootenanny Night. And it was like you just sign your name there and whatever you did. If you did sword swap, most of them were folk singers.
15-year-old Gilbert Gottfried, and what was your act like?
I did mainly impressions.
Okay.
It's like Boris Karloff and Humphrey Bogart. Even back then, my act was dated.
But you've made a name for yourself as a comedian who, you know, pushes the envelope, crosses the line, says the things that shouldn't be said. And so do you think that, like, you've been doing comedy for, whatever, four decades. Are people more sensitive now than they were, you know, in the 80s, let's say?
Well, nowadays I feel like every joke should come with a set of instructions. That, like, if you think the joke is funny, laugh. And if you don't think the joke is funny, don't laugh.
Right.
You know, it's gotten a little crazy. Now when you say a joke, you have to apologize right afterwards.
And do you think comedians should apologize?
No. I think an audience, like when they go to a horror movie or get on a roller coaster, they want that feeling like they're going to die. And then get off and everything's okay. And I think when they see a comic, they want to feel like something bad could happen. And with me, something bad is happening because they spent money to see me. When they say, ladies and gentlemen, Gilbert Gottfried, they'll go, well, that's a bad thing. This can't be good.
Too soon that, you know, the idea of saying a joke, making a joke right after a tragedy. You have done that quite often. Do you think any material is off limits?
No. Yeah, I just do it. Every time something pops in my head, I think twice about it and I do it anyway.
So let's talk about a moment that was partially caught on television and then lives forever on the internet. And of course, everyone in the audience that was there enjoyed it. You were doing a roast of Hugh Hefner. And why don't you explain to us, I'll let you tell the story of what happened.
Well, it was a few days after September 11th. And they were originally going to cancel the roast. And everyone was scared. A lot of people canceled their flights coming into New York. And it was just a couple of days. And there was black smoke still floating in the air. And I decided I'm going to go up there and be the first one to do a really poor taste. So I said, I have to leave early tonight. I have to catch a flight to L.A. I couldn't get a direct flight. We have to make a stop at the Empire State Building.
And
that got boos and hisses and people were yelling stuff out and people were getting up to leave. And one guy yelled out, too soon. Which I thought meant I didn't take a long enough pause between the setup and the punchline. I should have said, 1, 2, 3, Empire State Building, and then it would have worked better. My timing was off.
Now, you've said that tweeting is a very expensive hobby for you.
Yes.
Do you think twice before you tweet a joke?
Yeah, and I send them out anyway. It doesn't matter anymore. What jobs do I have to lose now? But I remember when that happened, when Affleck fired me, one guy tweeted me and he said, Affleck fires Gilbert Gottfried after discovering he's a comedian.
Right! I mean, that is your role. And so when something happens, do you feel, when you're pushing the envelope, it's sort of you're turning mainstream on its head, but when the mainstream is expecting you to offend them, does that make you go, I don't want to do it?
Yeah. I find out what tragedies are going on in the world, because on the internet, people are tweeting me and sending emails going, hey, how about the joke about, you know, those 10,000 people who just died? And I feel like, no, you're expecting it now.
Right.
That kind of kills it. You're not going to get offended and scream for my death.
So people are always afraid when they come on our show about the game. And when we were talking about your game, now we know that you're an expert at reading erotica from that fantastic 50 Shades of Grey excerpt that you read.
Yes.
It is, so we had to, of course, take advantage of your trademark voice. I love hearing the descriptions. So people say it's grating or obnoxious or screeching, but they forget the most obvious, seductive.
Yes.
So we want to take advantage of those golden pipes in a game about some of history's and literature's best-known couples. So let's welcome our two contestants, Ben Haber and Ginger Haber. Clearly, you are a couple.
We are.
Yes.
We
are. Married.
Married 10 years.
10 years?
10
Congratulations.
Years.
Now, you're going to play against each other. What's at stake here?
Oh, everything.
Yeah. What does the winner get the loser?
Well,
have
first
to...
of all, the respect of our children. and, you know, my dignity as the man of the house. But other than that, she's going to give me a whole bunch of stuff that you can't really say on NPR.
That's right. 10 years in, you got to win a quiz, huh?
Yes.
It's true.
It's a lot of work.
It's true. This could bring you together because it's called Passionate Proclamations with Gilbert Gottfried. You know the old saying, the sweetest of all sounds is the voice of the one we love. So he's going to pitch you a little woo, and you have to identify the couples we're portraying. Got it?
Got it.
All right. Take it away, Gilbert.
My darling!
Yes, my love?
Wherever I go, I carry a piece of you with me, like a rib. You're my one and only, literally... You're the only man around.
Ben.
Adam and Eve?
Yes! It's like early Tinder.
My little red-haired firecracker.
Yes, dear.
Ay, ay, ay. The rest of the world may adore you in black and white reruns, but I treasure you live in full color. If you ever leave me or our joint production company, you'll have some splainin' to do.
Ben.
Lucy and Desi?
Exactly.
Mi querida.
Si, mi amor.
Could fill 1,000 murals. Everything about you excites me. Your paintings, your politics, even your eyebrows and little mustache. Te amo.
Ginger.
Frida Kahlo and Diego.
Exactly, yes indeed. And this is your last love woo.
My darling.
Yes, Gilbert Gottfried.
Are you busy later tonight?
We'll talk after the show.
When I got marooned in Africa, meeting a man was the furthest thing from my mind. But then I saw you, my beloved, swinging through the trees in that amazing little loincloth. I went ape.
Ben.
Tarzan and Jane?
Tarzan and Jane. Puzzle guru Greg Pliska, how did our couple do?
Well, I have to say, congratulations, Ben. You're going to win. You're going to win all that stuff that you can't say on the radio.
Nice. Sorry, Ginger.
And whatever that stuff is, you'll be doing it in an Ask Me Another anagrammed t-shirt.
Thank you so much, Ginger.
Thank
and
you.
Ben. And how about a hand for VIP Gilbert Gottfried?
If I should stay, I would only be in your way. So I'll go, yet I know I will think of you each step of the way.
And I will always love you. I'll always love you.
That's exactly how I imagined it would
be. That was unbelievable.